All right. So, another beautiful, beautiful crystal friend. Now, this one, very interesting that, and very good that it was polished into a sphere, because it has a lot of reference points to working on universal or world energies. Actually, global energies. It's got various dimensions, levels, and connections to global energy. And it also, which is interesting too, global energy connected to what you might say the orientation of the planet to the universe. There's a lot of sky in here with stars. There's a starry sky in here. There's a tremendous amount of diamonds of intention that can be like scattered and thrown in any direction on whatever level that you would like. There's several planes in here that show different levels. It's a very complex crystal by magicians and seers who have used it in the past. Was to go do remote viewing with it, in other words, to go to other locations and to pick up information and to bring it back. So there's a lot of retrieval involved with it. And you can you could retrieve a lot of information from this crystal if you knew how to do that, if you knew how to do the journey. It would basically require a meditation into the crystal, and there you would go through some dimensions and some portals. There's some portals in here, and go play around with it. You would probably find yourself in some very interesting realities, and you could bring through some really interesting material, some very interesting information. The way you would work with this intentionally as a light being is that this would help reinforce a sense of your presence on the planet, your mission, your work that you wish to do on the planet, and be able to broadcast and connect your work, your energies, to a wide range of entities, people, processes, in a sense, to be able to really connect. It's like you could really connect through. You could use this for marketing. You could use this for calling to yourself other members of your network or other members of your spiritual team. And these spiritual team members, not necessarily physical, but also on other dimensions, but could be physical, could be people you want to work with, people that you want to pull into your sphere of influence, so to speak. So it has a lot of practical aspects, but we would say the most delightful aspect about here would be the prospect of astral travel that it offers you, that you can go all sorts of places with it and see and experience all sorts of things. It has so many little windows, so many little places to go through, and there's beautiful reflections and rainbows and stars and bubbles even, you know, in here. It's just awesome. You would never get tired of the explorations of being with this one. All right. So, beautiful light, power, global energies. So we just kind of put in here, or just kind of install in here a kind of a vision about the future on the planet, a vision of the earth healed, a vision of whoever uses this crystal to really bring forth their mission in greatest levels and expansion of success. All right. All right, so we hope you have a few juicy questions for us. All right, who would like to begin?
I'd like to go first.
All right.
Alexis.
Yes.
One thing you said in the lecture part that just struck me, and I guess I never thought about it before, and it's still cogitating in my mind, and you said that the ego operates even on the unconscious mind. And for some reason, I mean, with all that I've learned about the ego and worked with my negative ego and so forth, I always thought that, well, when I go into meditation and I go into these other realms, that the ego doesn't work anymore. I mean, I get away from my negative ego, and I just assumed the ego didn't go with me. And so I'm just, oh, okay, well, it hasn't sunk in yet.
All right.
And perhaps if you could talk about that a little bit more. I suppose the ego operating at that level is when we're meditating and we have a perception that comes from our ego.
All right.
Maybe. Or some other, I always thought it was from somebody else or some other being or some from the goddess or
all right.
Source.
All right. Well, now working with the ego is really based on physical plane reality. The ego can only work within the parameters you set through your beliefs, which are anchored into the unconscious mind. So, in essence, the ego is not really working with your unconscious mind. It's working within the parameters of determination that you have made in your unconscious mind. It has to work within that. It cannot do any translation in your unconscious mind. Its function doesn't work in the unconscious. But the unconscious mind holds a lot of the laws within which you require your physical plane realities to manifest. All right. So it works within those parameters. It's the same thing with the subconscious. It doesn't really work with your subconscious. It works under the range of limitations that you've put on your subconscious, the interpretations and so forth that are established in your subconscious, the underlying attitudes and emotions and flows and and behaviors and patterns that you tend to repeat over and over and over again as you live, you know, quote unquote, learn your lessons and things like that. A lot of that comes in the subconscious. And so the ego must adhere to those contexts. However, what ends up happening is that when your unconscious mind is distorted and when your subconscious mind is distorted, which is what always seems to happen in childhood and so forth, that the ego's influence, in a sense, or the connection of this judgment and shame and all the energies that are surrounded there, the ego will freely pull upon your limited beliefs, your old patterns and so forth that are in your unconscious mind, in your subconscious mind, and keep throwing them at you. So in a way, it has contaminated your unconscious mind. It has contaminated your subconscious mind.
So in other words, for example, we go into meditation maybe to work with changing the collective unconscious.
Yes.
Some aspect of it.
Yes.
And to the extent that we've bought into that and our negative ego will support that and maybe even hinder us in our work.
Right. Well, the ego kind of has a, you know, like a summer home in the unconscious, right? It kind of has made a home there because, in a way, when you were a child, basically, you didn't know any better, but since your parents had invited it in and grandparents had invited it in, it was just natural for you. You invited it in. So it lives there and in a sense can seem to take over your unconscious mind or your subconscious mind. This is not its realm of influence. It does not really intrinsically wish to function there because that's not really where it's supposed to function. All right. It's supposed to function in the physical plane for you to bring you the feedback, you know, the actual physical feedback so that the events, the circumstance, the forms, so that you can get your feedback that you need to of what you're thinking, feeling and blah, 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 and how you're creating. Now, when you go to the subconscious and unconscious deliberately in meditation, specifically to those realms, Now, we didn't go into that today, but when you do work with those realms specifically and you want to go to the subconscious and work there, it might be very helpful for you to go find the personified subconscious mind.
Exactly, which...
Mm-hmm. And when you find the personified subconscious mind, then what we would suggest that you do, you clear your relationship with it, you clear your energies with the subconscious mind. Because sometimes some of your aggravation at the ego is actually aggravation at your subconscious mind for keeping sending you the same old patterns. It's, you keep going. Basically, every time you activate a program or activate a process, you basically go to the subconscious mind and say, here are the parameters for it. And if you don't consciously and deliberately do so, then basically the ego goes in and sits in the subconscious's chair and says, okay, here's the parameters. Okay. Now, when you go there and you meet the personified subconscious, you may have to get, you know, release some feelings. You may want to kind of clear with it. You may want to bring in spirit helpers and powerful unseen friends to work with you. To get your relationship clear and clean with your personified subconscious. And then one of the first tasks that you and your subconscious are going to do is going to go and clean out the negative ego's lair.
Good idea.
Okay. It's habitat that's there. Now, we didn't go into that because we only have a short period of time to talk about this. But part of your healing your relationship with the ego that we're going to show you how to do, and which you pretty much already know, but in a sense going to show you ways to working with it. As you work with it naturally and automatically, its influence in your subconscious and unconscious minds will gradually wane and abate. And as you get cleaner and clearer there, it cannot function there anymore. And naturally, it will end up not contaminating it so much. But you can very deliberately, if you want to accelerate that process, clean out its lair, clean out its summer home, clean out its little, you know, it's the home that it has. And if you find that home, you'll find it's very messy. You ask the personified subconscious to take you to the subconscious's place, you know, where the subconscious has set up base. The negative ego is set up base, the toxic ego. And when you go there, ego will not be there, but when you go in there, you'll be amazed at what a mess it is. It's a pigsty in there, right? It's just filled with all sorts of debris. And this is your debris. This is debris from your past. You'll find debris from your past strewn all over the place. You'll have to step over empty. It's like a whole bunch of adolescents had a big, Super Bowl party, right? And there's like, you know, bottles and cans and leftover half-eaten pizzas and stuff with mold on it. And you have no idea what that is, you know, and you'll wander around. You see old clothes and just everything will be in there. And so what you will do is that you can just get in some really high-powered light beings and clean it up. Just clean it out, you know. And you can do that, and you will feel some shifts. But if you don't do your regular work, you know, harmonic work with the ego, with the positive ego, the negative or toxic ego will still come and slide in there, and will reestablish itself. Now you can do the same thing in the unconscious mind as well.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. But recognize that the ego should not be part of your experience in other levels and dimensions and so on. Its function is here. Physical plane function. And if you find it someplace else, oh, okay, then you know that you have some work you may want to do with it. Now, once you acknowledge your positive ego, you've healed with the toxic ego, the one you've been fighting in your past. So once that happens, the ego realizes it doesn't have to do so much work anymore. And once it begins to realize that it's actually the pressure's off, and it isn't, you're not kicking it around and judging it and being angry at it anymore, it won't feel any need to go there, really. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Hello, Galexis. This is Diane.
Well, hello, Diane.
Hi. I've been doing a lot of intense channeling, and I got to the point of such distortion and things contradicting each other in my channeling that I just didn't channel my spirit guides anymore, and I went to God, straight to God, and that was always clear to me. This was relay channeling. It wasn't a verbal. It was what I was hearing. But either way, I would think it would be practically the same. So I know I'm always aware that I might be totally responsible for the confusion. But what I hear usually when that happens is to not channel for a couple of days, and it might be cleared. And I realize that my emotions are, you know, now that we're talking about all this, the different areas of the ego, I realize that it's a much more complicated issue than what I realized that is happening here. So at this time, I'm only speaking with God mostly. I'm calling on Galexis at night for healing and different things, but you, let's say. But that's what's happening. So I'm wondering if you can help me on what is really happening. Why is my channeling being so distorted and contradictory or a negative?
All right. Well, what we pick up, first of all, is that the information that you've been wanting from the beings you've been channeling, other than God, that is, for the most part, you have too much charge on it, on the information.
Yes.
All right. It's like you're asking about issues that are too big. Not issues that are too big, but the sense that you've got too much energy riding on the answers to these questions that you ask them or the information you want them to bring in. In other words, the information that they bring in, you feel that you would be, you're looking for some kind of actions that you may have to take or that you may have to commit yourself to, or that are going to, could provide a certain circumstance of risk in your physical plane reality. And so therefore, there's charge, there's fear, and the lack of trust that underlies interactions with the toxic ego make you insecure in a sense that about what you have been doing so far, about the issue, right? So now you really want better information about the issue, and you want more solid information about the issue so you can really feel confident and really move forward and really get whatever that is done. And so when you get to that place, it's almost as if the pressure or the demand to get the resolution to an issue or to get the supreme answer to something or to get the real full clarity about something. There's just so much pressure on it that it's almost as if there's a screen that comes up between you and your spirit guides, and that screen is the ego. It comes in the middle, and it's the charge, too much charge. If you have stuff in fantasy, and you have the fantasy, oh, I have the fantasy of, you know, I so enjoy talking to my friends, and we talk about the most esoteric and stuff and whatever and so on. It's so wonderful. You might be on the other side. You might be on the fantasy side. And there are quite a few people who channel on the fantasy side, and they will channel entities who will bring through information of really not particularly practical use talk about what goes on with great detail on the 18th plane and how the and will give you the details of history on of other civilizations on the astral plane of other centuries on, and how, you know, you've been tapped by these, you know, beings to get this powerful information, which really doesn't have much application. Now, we know you don't tend to do that, but you've known people who do that, right? Mm-hmm. Who kind of get information that, oh, it's for great for people's egos, great for people to hear that they were some champion on another level, you know, mm-hmm. Somehow they are the privy ones. Oh, they're the lucky ones that they get this esoteric information from the great mystery schools of wah wah woo woo, you know, and so so that's the fantasy sign. Now, to know that you're in the middle, you know, and you're that middle path, the path of balance, the path of just enough, you know, not too weird and fantastical, and not too much charge and therefore too much pressure and demand to pull up anxieties and panics about failure or shame or mistakes and things like that. To get that kind of center line, if you work directly, first of all, with your ego and get that ego nice and positive, and then you can work with your beliefs and your emotional states and start to get really clear about that, you're going to bring in information at first that may not to have much charge. In other words, if you're going to channel for someone else, you want to make sure that, first of all, that the questions that they ask you or the information that they ask you, that is not going to be, you know, pivotal, life-changing kind of things. You want to, in a sense, practice with kind of more things like exploring a person's temperament, an emotional energy, or exploring an issue to understand more about it, because you don't have nearly as much charge on that. You see?
Yes.
So start there, and then when you get to really good solid place with that, to where you feel the connection with your unseen friends with that you're channeling, and you feel the strength of that connection, and you can trust it, and you can distinguish the frequency of that and distinguish the state that you're in there with the state that you're in when things don't come clearly or when you're in fantasy or whatever, when you can kind of get when you're in that balanced place over a consistent period of time, then you can start to stretch a little bit, start to stretch. The limitation is in you. It's not in, of course, in your spirit helpers, but it's in you. If you start to stretch, and let's say you channel for someone else and they ask about, well, you know, should I, you know, move across the country to be with this man, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, he's invited me over there. Should I marry him? Should I give up my job and move all the way across the country? Well, you're talking something like huge life change, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to, if you feel the nervousness, if your spirit helper starts to act a little nervous, ego's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay.
It's like, oh my gosh, what if I channel them the wrong information? Oh gosh, what will happen, you know, and if they take it up and it was wrong, oh no, you know. So recognize that the sign of the ego coming in will be there. You will feel it, you will sense it, it will be a distinct frequency shift. So working with your ego individually, directly with the ego, you may find yourself being able to take the ego and put it aside, so that when you channel, that if you don't get it, the answers, you just sit there. Don't feel bad. Just sit there until you're clear. You understand?
Yes.
Because in the past you felt obligated. You had to keep
yes.
talking. You have to bring something out. Come on, you got to get something out. Got to get something out.
Yes.
And with that pressure, you know, you know, then all of a sudden you're out of the reality zone. You're not balanced now. Mm-hmm. So you'll know when that sense is. And the point is that your practice really helps here, that if you have someone who is, to sit with you, that's non-judgmental, to ask questions and to interface and so on, and talk to the spirit helpers about them and about maybe some emotional issue or something like that that doesn't have charge, and then gradually stretch a little bit, then stretch a little bit more. And it's up to you to stretch. So for you to go, okay. And it's up to you to feel comfortable sitting there with not saying anything. When you start to feel really comfortable, then you start to really stay in touch with the frequency that's correct. Mm-hmm. You see? And then you will find that once you kind of get the handle of that, on that, you'll find out your channeling capacities can then really accelerate, and you can really move forward with it.
Wonderful.
And it's good when you're talking with God directly, and of course you know that there's only part of piece of God, right?
Yes.
Because if all of God came in, it's like you wouldn't have an ego. You'd be so, your boundaries would be so dissolved. You'd be in the oneness. Woohoo! Ah, you know, that wouldn't be too helpful either. So. So you kind of isolate out a piece of God, and the piece that you isolate out holds a certain frequency of clarity, of freedom, of light, and so on. And even there, if you feel like, okay, you have a friend sitting there waiting, okay, what does God say about my life, you know? And you're like, I'm not getting anything. God, where'd you go? Where'd you go? You know. Okay, ego just slipped in there, mm-hmm. because there was charge. And so then you have to, mm-hmm. okay, hey, ego, okay, out, mm-hmm. you know, and then you just say, all right, it's going to take a little bit. So you just sit there and you just wait until you clear. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that after a while, the connection restores. Or maybe you start over, whatever your ritual is of connecting in your channeling, just opening it up, you know, clearing, opening up your channel, you know, et cetera, and just going through the motions again, in a sense. It's almost like clearing the field, and then you can start over.
Yes, I believe that happened once. It was very, I could really sense that happening. It's like a switch that went on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a silence, and then...
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what we're telling you is also applicable to everyone else here, because it's not that when you're talking with your ego that, it's almost the same kind of thing. You're talking with you're interacting, interfacing with your ego. You have your mental chatter going on. You're thinking about stuff and so on and so on. You can tell when you get into ego territory. Because you're going to feel a charge, you're going to feel a certain tension or stress or whatever, or you feel that somehow or another you're just kind of ungrounded and you're kind of floating around in there. And so when you feel those kinds of sensings, you know that your ego is present. All right. So, when you want inspiration, when you're looking for a psychic hit, when you're looking for a intuitional knowing, you can use this same principle, because when you're receiving information, you want to be able to receive it from the reality zone. You want to receive it in the balanced and clear place. So it's just important for all of you to be aware of these signals or these messages that tell you that you're out of sync, and when you're there in that, that's a distortion, that means that there's something that's still distorted, i.e. a belief or an emotion or an interpretation that you have about your reality or something, or that you've put, you know, some too much charge on something or not enough, you're in fantasy about something or you're missing something. And as soon as you kind of get how that works, you can get right back into center, like in a matter of a second or two, and start to get really clean and clear information from your higher self or whomever it is that you see is giving you that information. So it's a kind of the same principle, even if it's you're not deliberately calling it channeling per se. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, who else?
Hi, Alexis, this is Bonnie.
Hello, Bonnie.
Thanks again for all your help.
You're welcome.
I need help, Alexis, with terminology. I'm a little confused. I understand soul, higher self, spirit, higher self. The unconscious mind is connected to all your lifetimes. But I'm a little confused about consciousness, brain consciousness, and mind so that I can sort out my ego among the above.
All right, so what was that second one? Consciousness,
yeah,
and then
what? Where does your brain and your mind fit in as far as terminology and definition of conscious mind or consciousness?
All right, consciousness has two aspects of awareness to it, okay? Your consciousness is at the level of awareness you're capable of sustaining at any given moment of time according to your intention, because a lot of times you are not particularly conscious. Let's say, you know, when you're maybe watching TV or brushing your teeth, you know, you may not have a particular high level of awareness going on at the moment. But when you want to tap into and connect into consciousness, the two aspects of consciousness, one is brain awareness, and the other is mind awareness. Okay, brain awareness has to do with what comes through your senses. Okay, it's part of the ego will translate feedback into the physical plane that you perceive. Okay, but you know, if you're in your bathroom brushing your teeth, there's no new information coming into your physical plane reality for you to perceive. It's just, you know, this is a routine. You're not expecting to create anything in particular, you know. So in a sense, you're not utilizing more than the brain function of, okay, here's where the toothpaste is, and here's where the glass is, and this is blah, 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 and so on. So that's just brain awareness. All right? Brain awareness. That gives you the sensory stuff. Now, the mind awareness is what you are experiencing as you're brushing your teeth, right? The mind awareness, what emotions are going on, what thoughts are happening, what beliefs are active. Now, again, there's not much going on when you're brushing your teeth. It's a routine. Okay? You're basically allowing your subconscious mind just to kind of flow you right through it. Because you know to put the toothpaste on the toothbrush first before you put the toothbrush in your mouth. You know your right sequence. You don't think about it. It's just automatic. All right. So you're not really looking at, okay, what do I feel about brushing my teeth today? You know, oh gosh, what belief do I have? You know, well, you may be reinforcing beliefs while you're brushing your teeth, thinking about, oh, that pocket is still bothering me. I'm going to have to go to the dentist on that, you know, or something like that, you know. Or I've got a gum inflammation back here. What's going on there? You know, and that's minor. But when you're working metaphysically, when you're working spiritually, you are wanting to put your attention as your light being self. The you that is distinct from the ego, the self that you see distinct from the ego self, that part that you've awakened to. This part then asks for information. This part asks for feedback. Now, then the ego brings feedback. It's the mind that says, okay, what do I feel about this? Does it have charge? What is the interpretation I have on this? That's mind. The brain part is, what am I perceiving? Okay, what comes into my reality is this, you know, for example, if you're looking for as far as a financial income or something like that, you're looking maybe for someone to call you and set up an appointment, let's say, or you want to get a check, you know, with your name made out to you for so much, signed by that person, whoever it is. And so when you feel that, when you see that, when you answer the phone and hear that voice and so on, this is the translation that the ego brings you. And it's, you perceive it through your senses. Your brain is perceiving it. Now your mind is looking to say, do you have a spin on it? Do you have an issue with it? what's going on in all the emotions and the beliefs and the thinking and blah, 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 and so on. How does it relate to who, how you see yourself as being yourself, your spiritual self? You know, all of that is going on. And that's the evaluation part. That's the part you're supposed to do. The ego's not supposed to do that part. The ego's only supposed to do the part your brain picks up, really. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the stimulation of what you perceive with your brain, the reaction and response you have to it, doesn't have to be an ego response to it. You can feel an emotion. Somebody says, you know, I have a wonderful gift for you. You're going to feel a little woof, elation, you know. That's just an emotional response. It doesn't have to be, you know, if the ego's involved in there, it'll say, oh, they have a gift for me. Oh, gosh, now am I going to owe them one? You know, or, you know, that's ego, right? Oh, they have a gift for me. Oh, I bet you it's some little cheap trinket I'm going to have to, oh, you're so wonderful and smile about and pretend to love, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about stuff from adolescence, right? You know, that kind of response from childhood or adolescence. Or you might say, oh, they have a gift for me. Well, I don't know how they could have a gift for me. They've been having so much financial difficulty and they've been having so much struggle. How in the world do they get, you know, stuff together for a gift? This is you interpreting it, you see? All right. But you may still feel the elation. And then you put a interpretation in it. That's mind. All right. Now, you said consciousness, and then there's between the brain and the mind. And what else do you want to delineate?
Yeah, like distinguishing the brain consciousness from the mind, and then I'm a consciousness. And I was getting confused when we were talking about terms and definitions earlier.
All right, because you see the way it happened as you grew up, you didn't see any distinction between you and your ego. You didn't know that there was one when you were a child. It's one and the same. You know, somebody look at you, they're looking at you. And the ego says, they're looking at you. You know, it's like you just didn't realize it. And some of you actually heard a distinction, actually experienced a distinction, but you didn't know how to own it as such. You didn't know how to work with that. But you did know that there was a certain part of you that was true. You didn't know exactly what it was. You knew that every now and then that part of you that was really true was a little different in energy from everything else. And what when it came through with something, then that was right. Then it worked. And you really got it. But you didn't know how to do that. That was coming from yourself, from your divine being, translated into the identity of who you are in the world as the being that is having a physical plane experience, but is divine by nature. You didn't know that was what was happening. You sensed that was from some greater place. Some people think that's from God. Some people think that's a gift of an angel or something like that, you know? However you put it, you know, people who are in religions very often have a different relationship with God than a person who begins to own that they're a powerful reality creator and that they're a light being themselves. Your relationship with God is very different from others. A religious definition is that you're a child of God. And in other words, you're dependent on God, and so God's going to give you stuff, and anything that comes to you is going to come from God. You can see how much confusion that makes with your ego. Because everything that comes in, oh, this must be God testing me.
Yeah.
All right? Or this is the devil trying to undermine me. And they have no clue how to work with the ego. So of course you can see how that some preachers, for example, can get to be extraordinarily egotistical and not even see it, you know. Because as long as it doesn't fulfill what you call a traditional definition of ego, which is all puffed up and walking around and swaggering and saying, I'm the best, I'm like, you know. As long as it doesn't look like that, then people can get terribly fooled mm-hmm. by the ego because they still don't get the distinction, you know. And sometimes they think the ego's God, you know, because, hey, you know, God's sending you this hardship for a reason, It's a punishment to you, you know? Or it's going to teach you more compassion for other people. Right? Interpretation from the ego, you see? And they think, oh, this is God speaking to me. This message, this interpretation is what God means to me, you know? And then they look to their preachers to interpret the Bible for them. And they're looking outside themselves for interpretation. So they don't have a sense of self that's separate from the ego. But when you're on a spiritual path like yourself and those who are listening here with us today, that is strictly a one-on-one with God. You one-on-one with the divine because you are divine by your nature. And so you own that you are responsible for your interpretations of things. You know that you are responsible for your creations of things. You can receive from God as you. You see, God is not your ego giving stuff to you. But the translation that comes in, if it's clean, then when it comes in, you won't have much spin on it. You'll be able to see it for what it is as feedback. And then you'll be able to decide what you want to do with it from a conscious place, knowing that it's in your power to do it. Then you claim your power. You don't give your power away to God. You don't give your power away to anybody else, you see. And so when that happens, and that's the journey of self-realization. That's the journey to home. And so that's why it's so vitally necessary to get the confusions with the ego out of the way.
And it's vitally important to me because I realized that recently that I brought more into issues into this lifetime than I ever imagined, which were conducive to a breeding ground of a very screwed up ego, for lack of a better term. And thank you for this workshop.
You're certainly welcome. You and a lot of you who are, in a sense, culminating, you know, ending the birth and death sequences and cycles. You're like saying, okay, this is our big hurrah. We're gonna really get it this time. We're gonna wrap up stuff. And people that like to wrap up stuff, it's ready to wrap up stuff. You feel like you really wanted to wrap up stuff. Well, before you came in, you said, I'm gonna be able to take on a lot. So you gave yourself a lot of power for this lifetime. You have a lot. You know you do, right? Yes?
Then when I started doing the work, I, you know, is that an ego trip? Is that an, I started, the self-doubt kicked in and it's like, I gotta end this.
Right. Well, you know, the real critical place that, where the ego gets people more than anywhere else is that it has undermined people's trust in themselves.
Yes.
All right. And when you don't trust yourself, then you're going to get into doubt. You're going to be into hesitation. You're going to get torn. You're going to not know, you know, you're going to think, I've got to find the right answer. You know, I can't just go out and do what I want to do because I could be really messing it up big time. And, you know, and you could put all that kind of spin on it. Of course, that's ego. Right. And so learning to trust yourself is learning when to recognize when your interpretations are connected to ego and when your interpretations are clear. Now, in your interpretations are clear, you're going to have a sense of flow and there's going to be a sense of smoothness in your emotional body, regardless of the circumstance. Even if it's a huge, you know, huge feedback, like some major thing happening. Oh yeah, at first you're gonna go, whoa, this is huge. And the emotions are intense around it and so on. Okay. But as soon as you start to evaluate, as soon as you start to think about, now what do I do about it? If it's clean and clear, you'll find that even so, even under the circumstances, that, yeah, you can feel disturbance maybe in your emotional body, but it's not related to your interpretations. When you're doing the interpretations, when you're feeling and thinking and exploring and evaluating and looking at something, if it's, you'll find that your emotions are moving smoothly. You'll find that your thoughts are very empowered. Mm-hmm. All right? That you just feel empowered. you know, you okay, it's time for me to sit down and look at this and make a decision and make a call on this. And you're doing it as a powerful reality creator. Because if you don't trust yourself, of course, then what is your self-image going to be? Your self-image is some kind of nincompoop who's bumbling through life, and maybe, hopefully, at some point, you'll get it right, right? And so, and of course, that's reinforced by ego. So what you want to look at is, like, make sure that your interpretations are clean, that you don't have judgments in them, that you don't have distortions in them, you know, your perceptions don't put in, okay, you know, they've got it out for me, no paranoia, you know, those kinds of things. Make sure that you get out all that kind of debris. And when you have it all out, when you're just looking at it as what it is and how are you going to respond to it, you are clear of ego and that of negative or toxic ego. And basically what you're doing is you're sitting with your positive ego saying, okay, these are the contexts. Let's go with this. And then the spin is something you consciously, willfully, and empoweredly choose. Then your ego has to do that. It has to follow that. You see? And then once you do this a few times, you will find that you will be feeling much more confident. You'll start to trust your own evaluations, your own judgments about things. And we're talking about judgments here. It's about more about the discriminating evaluation, not about the judgment of good, bad, right, wrong, and that kind of thing. You see? So as soon as you get that good, bad, right, wrong, better, worse, success, failure, all that kind of, you know, stuff out of the way, which the ego just will screw you up royally with, you will trust yourself. You'll start trusting yourself. It'll start making sense to you. You will be more confident. You'll be capable of looking at a situation and making better sense out of it more quickly. Right?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's so pivotal for your spiritual journey. And we're glad you brought that up, because these distinctions we want to make sure are clean, that they are clear, so that you can really work better with your ego as a benign function in your life, which is what it was meant to be initially, right? All right, so who else?
Hello, Galaxis. I have a business meeting this coming Tuesday.
Yes.
Which could evolve into future possibilities. And I've journeyed through releasing my vows and the emotions about past situations with the company. I would like to discuss, am I clean for going into this meeting in order to create, or are there some distortions that I still have in this regard?
All right. So when you think about going into this meeting, what emotions do you feel thinking about and imagining yourself going into the meeting and sitting down and all the possibilities that are there and all the people and all the players are there, blah, blah, blah. What do you think you're going to feel?
I'll feel self-trust. I'll feel...
How will you feel that? How will you tell that you're feeling that? How do you know that?
I'll feel in balance with myself.
And how would that, what does that look like? How does that flow for you? But in other words, what's the perception about yourself, and what's your perception about what you perceive is going to come out of that meeting that gives you that sense of confidence there?
A feeling of knowingness.
So what do you know is going to happen?
My sense is that there'll be an opportunity out of this that will be exciting and mysterious. In other words, it will be a mystery, too, of what the possibility can be out of this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm passionate about going into the meeting. I'm grateful for going into the meeting. It's a meeting about new possibilities in the domain of real estate with the president of Coldwell Banker and the broker.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how do you feel about money right now?
I've been doing a lot of work about money.
Yeah, but how do you feel right now?
Right now about
money. Right now at this moment. How do you feel about money right at this moment?
Sad.
All right. Okay. Yeah. And what produces that sadness? What is the belief that's under there about why would you be sad about money? You're sad because?
I'm sad because I have not been able to create it the way that I've been able to create it in the past. In the past, I was able to create it and it would flow and it would be magical and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been...
Been really more, really harder, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. What does your ego say to you about the sadness? How does your ego interpret that? Ego says, well, of course you're sad about money because you just...
Oh,
you're...
I see, about the self-trust. We're mm-hmm. back to the self-trust.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. then this could be a place of vulnerability for me.
Right, and what would happen if you were vulnerable? What does the ego... What picture does the ego show you that could happen? So, well, what could happen here? That could be negative.
Yes.
No. Yes, what?
The opportunities won't be there.
Right. And why won't there be? Why won't they follow through? What is it about you that's going to keep them from coming through? What does it say about you? You're the kind of person who doesn't get these things to go through because. Why does the ego is telling you why you're going to screw it up?
Yes. Because
how are you going to do it?
I have more work to do on myself.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you haven't done enough work on yourself because...
because that's a story and a vicious cycle.
Right. Because you're not good enough just to walk in there, right? And just have it work.
Yes.
Something's not right. You haven't gotten it together. There's something still wrong with you.
Mm.
Yeah.
You see,
that's your ego message.
Yes.
All right, that's one of them. Another one is, okay, say it doesn't come through. How are you going to respond? How are you going to feel? If there's no good, great, adventurous, mysterious, marvelous opportunities unfold from this. And it doesn't look like there's a dollar in it for you. So how would you respond?
I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
And
what would you say to yourself about this? What would the ego tell you? Okay, you're disappointed because?
It's the same old thing that then you need to do more work on yourself.
Bingo! Have you noticed, dear one, you've done too much work?
Yes.
You know why? Because at some point you think, at some point I will earn this success.
Ah, yes.
At some point my ego yes. will say, you've done enough. Of course the ego won't say that.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And your self-image is that somehow or another there's still some part of you just can't seem to get together and you can't do it right. And oh man, I still got to find that screwed up part and fix it.
And I don't feel that about myself, but I see that I do turn that over to my ego for that interpretation.
Right. Now, if it's outside of money, if it's some other issue, you notice that doesn't even show up at all.
Yes.
It's like, say, like a relationship, some kind of friendship kind of thing. It's just so easy, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, you just with this person, there's love, it flows, it's all great, da-da-da-da. And you know that when you're there present with your friend, that the interaction that you have there, that you'll have the right feedback and response and so on. So you trust that you're going to do fine, right?
Yes.
There's not going to be anything you don't have to prepare. Oh, my friend and I are going to go and have a coffee over at Starbucks on Wednesday. Oh, you don't have to prepare for that meeting, do you?
No.
Okay. Nothing you have to do to deserve getting that relationship going, to keep it ramped up, to keep that friendship together. Yeah. Gotta, maybe I should process something. No. You see, you don't go through that.
No, I don't.
Right?
Yes.
It's money, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, why the heck did I make this up? You know.
Right. So your ego is holding the twisted and distorted beliefs that you hold about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is holding the distorted emotions, and you're holding the anticipations of a failure, or it may hold you a fantasy of success. I'd say, oh yeah, this is going to be so great, and these are so fabulous, and these people are so da da da, and they're going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and this is going to be wonderful. It could go the fantasy route, or the ego can go the charge route. Okay. On the other side. And the charge route would be, okay, it's putting me to the test again. This is this money thing, and I hope I got it done this time. Maybe I better do more so I can earn more. Maybe so I can get it over that line. Whatever that line is, I've got to get over that line. I got to do enough. Maybe I'll never have enough. Maybe I'll never do enough for money. I don't know what I have to do, more I have to do, but let me see if I can over accomplish, over achieve, and somehow or another, maybe that'll cover it. Right? Okay? Because this charge, this money, this is a big nagging issue. What I do with myself, kick, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All right? So, you know, we're kind of like, you know, just kind of emphasizing and intensifying stuff, but just as a demonstration. But the ego is there, chattering about that, right? So that's the charge side. Now, to be in the reality zone, okay, the reality zone, you go in there with the same attitudes, the same state of being as you would to meet your friend on Wednesday at Starbucks.
Yes.
Yes. It's like, whatever I encounter there, I'm enough.
Yeah.
I'll be able to respond. It'll work out just fine. That something good will come out of it. I don't know. There could be any interesting sorts of possibilities. Something could work, because I know that in the moment, who I am, I'm prepared enough. You know, I've got whatever information I'm supposed to bring to the meeting, and here I am, bring myself to the meeting, and I know that I have the resources. It's fine. I can, you know, call on my resources and respond appropriately, and things are going to flow. And if I'm disappointed with this, I can probably morph it and change it and modulate it into something else. And I can do this and that. And, you know, no big deal.
I used to do it that way. So I'm just wondering, like, where did I make this change where I turned it over to my ego?
Well, you turned it over your ego when you made the change, when you made that vow with a lot of drama. Your deathbed vow, right?
Yes.
That's when you did it.
Yeah, because like since then it's been like.
And that because that went into your unconscious.
Yes.
You see, now from what we can see is that your unconscious is still kind of like a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in a way, your ego has gotten between you and your unconscious, and has gotten to where it doesn't physically want to manifest, or doesn't seem to want to be able to manifest money to you in the extent that you'd like. So you want to be able to remove all the charge, all the fantasy. Just stay right present. I have all the reason. You do. You know more to do than anybody. You're going to go into that meeting having more resources, more awareness, and you're going to be very present and aware, and you're going to listen and feel and just really be there, because you've got everything you need right there. And you've done enough. In fact, you've done too much, and in a sense, created charge on it. So you want to pull back on that.
Mm-hmm.
and start just templating how you go with a friend, how you are with in another area of your life, which is easy as pie and flows like just great. You know? Yes. There are certain things you do with such effortless grace. Just go and sit in that state of being. Claim that and bring that to the table on Tuesday.
Wow. Thank you, Galaxis.
All right. Because that's more who you are.
Yes.
And then
I used to be that way.
Yeah,
I
and then you visualize and totally you imagine yourself, you anticipate and expect yourself after the meeting, down the line, you see yourself still in that state. You claim that self. Because see what you did, you ended up buying into an ego self.
Hmm.
The ego distorted your self-image as somebody who couldn't pull it together because you weren't together enough. You couldn't seem to ever do enough. You couldn't achieve enough.
Right, because I keep coming up against the vow, right? Before.
Yeah, well, the vow is broken.
Right. So now,
ego just keeps reinforcing your fear.
Ah, yes.
Okay, and so because of your fear, you have to work harder, and you'll never ever get it that way, of course. Because that's you and the ego are, hey, ego's got you set up really good, right? It's got you set up there. What is it? The higher they go, the further they fall, you know? Ego's got you really set up. Okay, we got you. Okay, we're holding the rug right now under your feet right now. We got our hands on the edge of the rug. Okay, we're just waiting for you to go and say, step forward, and we'll yank, you know? So look at it. You know, you want to go in there with your ego as your friend, so that you have an easy relationship with it, because you've been trying to earn your ego's approval here. You've been trying to earn, you know, your successes because your ego's been telling you you're not enough. You know, so clear all those messages out. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, because this can make a difference, yeah. and so we're glad you brought this up, because this is so much about what we're going to be talking about, just in our description phase right before the meditation. So right now, what we'd like to do, and thank all of you for your questions, we'd like to take a 5 minute break. What? 10 minute. 10 minute break. Gonna take another 10 minute break, and then we're gonna come back and we're going to give you the process delineation. And, you already have heard pieces of it now in the questions. And so you'll see how it fits in when we give you the kind of the lineup. Alright? So, 10 minutes and we'll begin. Thank you. You're welcome.